I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues UK Bills podcast. We've got Robin, Mark, Matt, as always, talking Bills news with a UK twist. And I think, should we start with an apology from the last podcast where we took little less time talking about the game itself and just having a laugh knowing it was going to be an easy game?
Yeah, I think it's funny that I think we covered a huge amount. It's ridiculous that we spend half hour, 40 minutes discussing all the ways that there's the chance that Miami could potentially beat Buffalo. And what can they possibly do? What we didn't cover was how Buffalo might beat Buffalo.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And actually, that was where our problems started. We didn't consider that maybe we'd actually like find a way to try and beat ourselves consistently.
Well, we always do that in games anyway. It's nothing new to us, but just the way we imploded.
And then got it back again.
And got it back, yeah. But
I mean, even the Bills couldn't lose to the Bills.
I mean, we were trying to one up the Jags, weren't we? Well, they had what, five turnovers in their game?
Yep.
And they were losing at the time, and then they end up winning. So I think we were trying to be one up the hold my beer Jaguars. We're gonna do it even more spectacularly. But it is what it is.
A win is a win.
It's on to the next, which we'll come over to in the next show. But
I get that whole mentality, but I think that there's ways to win, isn't there? And I understand when it comes to the playoff, it's all about getting through to the next round. But there's something to be said for building momentum, finding form at the right time.
Mm.
And, you know, playing a game that's going to give you the best chance to win the following week. I don't think that's what this was, but it was enough just.
I think we say good teams find ways to win. I mean, you're looking at it, you had San Francisco. They didn't have it as easy.
They were behind on the end.
In the end, they came up trumps in the second half, but at time they didn't have it that easy. Obviously, the Bengals, they didn't have it that easy until
could have lost that game at 17 all. Baltimore went down the whole field. That was the game right there. And so weird, because that's basically how we beat Baltimore in 2020. not exactly the same, but in a similar thing. They were looking to level up at 10 all, and we went 17-3. They were looking to take the lead and went 7 down. Learning points.
But I think it shows. I mean, we big everything up, but we get the win. There is a lot to pickpocket from this game, and it can stem down to expectation. I think everyone was, especially last year in the playoffs when Josh could do no wrong, I think everyone had that expectation that we're going to breeze straight through again. He's going to play those perfect mistake-free playoff games, which we've known him to be, Mr. Playoff or Mr. January, as Tony Mr. Romo to put it on there. But he ended up having a bit of a stinker.
I see. I think stinker is harsh. Yeah. I mean, still completed 350 yards, 3 pass touchdowns. I think a lot of it is down to the way that the Dolphins lined up to play against him, and how what our play calling ended up being as a result of it. The fact that they were going, they blitzed early and often. They went cover zero really early on. And in the first quarter, we had some joy going up against that. We had a few deep throws. We got a bit of joy from it, a couple of touchdowns up early. And it felt like then that Ken Dorsey decided that that was the only way we were allowed to play offense. It was either run or 50-yard hero ball. And we're completely in control, completely in control. We should go 21-0 up. Dawson Knox drops the pass, drops the catch in the end zone. So it's only 17. And you say only 17. Could you see it ever being that this as close as it ended up being at 17-0? And we were destroying them. Then on a simple drive where we should be doing what's got us to be that this successful for a number of years with Josh Allen, we're going for hero balls. All of a sudden, he gets intercepted by Xavier Howard, and it starts to implode, and the mistakes start to come. It felt like the play that was being called up was, you know, go route down the field as often as you can to try and beat this zero blitz, and it didn't work. I don't get that. There was absolutely zero creativity in the play call, and it didn't put Josh Allen in the strongest position to win.
The Dolphins were almost daring the Bills to play that sort of game, weren't they? They were daring them to go for that long ball, and Dorsey seemed to fall for it. With that said, I'm just going to deliberately sort of just do a counterpoint, not because I disagree, but just because of another thing. If Shakir makes that catch, there's another turning point in the game there. There's a few things that went against them at crucial times, which is not to take anything away from Dorsey's play calling, nor Josh's loose play, nor his inability to hold on to the ball at times. But those things added together, I think it's very easy. And there's a lot of people on social media blaming Ken Dorsey, and there's a lot of people wanting to say that this is Josh Allen regressing. I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of taking your foot off the gas when you're up. It's a combination of Ken Dorsey not being creative enough. It's a combination of Josh Allen being too much of a hero. It's dropped catches. And actually, I'm going to give some credence, going back on everything we said and being overconfident, because it was that third game with the Dolphins. The Dolphins seemed to know what we were about to do before we did it, which is something that I don't think you'll get. And you look at comparing it to the Bengals Ravens, we all again thought the Bengals would just roll over the Ravens and it wasn't even going to be close. And I think similar things happened in that game. The Ravens knew what the Bengals were going to do, and they knew they were going to fight the way to the end, and they did. And ultimately, the better team still won, but I don't think it's quite as catastrophic as some people make out.
I mean, you talk the play calling. That the first four offensive series that the Bills had, where we scored pretty much all our first 17 points, there was creativity in there. There was methodical drives on there, but you just don't know where that rhythm went. I mean, obviously at the time, the Dolphins were pretty much doing cover zero blitzing all the time. And that's one of Josh's strong points a little bit, because he can actually obviously evade, which he didn't do any many scrambles. There wasn't many designed quarterback runs, but it's something that really needs to be addressed. Maybe it is good that you've got, well, obviously it's coming to the end of the season, just open up that playbook now, and regardless of whether it works or not, mix and match that start. I mean, the Giants game, did anyone see the Statue of Liberty play that Daniel Jones made?
It was good.
I mean, why can't we get Allen to do these short games? Is it his mentality that we said in the last show, he puts everything on his shoulders and actually wants to do it for the team rather than for himself, rather than for.
I don't think it's on Josh necessarily. Personally, I think that it's like we've said, we had a bit of joy in the first quarter with some deeper balls, and that's what Ken Dorsey decided was the way to go. Josh, actually, he had one interception that you could say was on him. The other one was, you know, the ball was thrown straight at Cole Beasley's chest, and it bounced off him when he should have caught it into the arms of the DB. That's not on Josh.
It was good interception from Howard as well, over his shoulder as well. It was a really good interception as well, which is again one of those things.
The fumble, I guess you can say, is on Josh, but it's sometimes you don't see the guy. That can happen. I don't think this was on Allen necessarily. Certainly not from an aggressive point of view. I think he still played a pretty strong game. Still made a lot of throws. Should have, like you said, the Khalil Shakir catch that should have been, the Dawson Knox catch in the end zone that should have put us 21-0 up. I think he still looked pretty solid myself. There were events that transpired, especially in the second quarter, where we found ways, much like the Minnesota game, we found ways to bring the other team back into the game in a game they had absolutely no right to be. And they only had one drive over 40 yards the whole game.
Yeah.
Miami. And somehow they managed to put up 31 points. It was
18 off turnovers, isn't it? And I know you can't take turnovers away out of it, but it's basically, you look at the yards and completions, it's a 34-13 game.
Yes.
Where we hand them 18 points on very short field.
It was bizarre. But I don't think it can be leveled at Josh. I think anywhere, if we're looking at it's ridiculous when you think about it. This is a team we should have blown away. We didn't, but I still think there's an awful lot of positive to take from the game. The fact is we still had a ridiculous amount of yards on offense. And we still moved the ball at will. We actually didn't play, or seemingly we didn't play brilliantly offensively. We scored 34 points really without getting out of second gear. That's not bad. We left some points out there. I thought defensively that our D-line played pretty well against a fairly makeshift Miami offensive line. Corners, that's something I think we need to cover in a bit more depth, but I thought they were superb, especially when Kyra Lamb came in more in the second half. The thing that I think is that let us down was the O-line that was a revolving door for against Josh. He had pressure in his face all the time, and there's some serious problems on that offensive line.
I mean, when you look at it, we talk stats, we talk the result itself. I mean, just if you exclude, they got 18 points off our turnovers, so yeah, you're taking that off on there. I mean, total yards, they had 231 total yards at 3.3 yards per play. Bills nearly doubled that. And with 5.9 yards per play on there, and the narrative I keep seeing on Twitter from these Dolphin fans who in week three said to Bills fans, don't make excuses that you lost, but they're making the excuse, oh, if we had two, if we had this, if we had that, we would have actually done a lot better. I mean,
I thought Scarlett Thompson played all right.
He had
a limited playbook, but he was fine. He didn't do anything too horrendous.
The only people Dolphins fans can blame are their own coaching staff and their own front office.
Yeah,
their head coach got us back into the game, because while everything's falling apart, the world's burning. We keep giving them the ball. We start the second half somehow in the lead, despite playing awfully in the second quarter. But after the field goal at the end of the second quarter, then we fumble the recovery for a touchdown that gets them the lead. A few series after that, they have the ball deep in their own very near their own end zone, and throw the most. And whether this is on Skylar Thompson or the play that's designed. Throw the most ridiculous pass trying to get 30, 40 yards out of the end zone when the far more for a quarterback of that standard would have been to either run the ball, get a few yards, punt it away, live to fight another day, or short dump off to a Mike Gesicki or someone nearby to get you a few yards. You're not going to get the 19 yards that you need on third and 19 on your own goal line. but instead they throw an interception.
Mm.
Yeah.
Next 14 points are ours. We're back 10 points up. And that period won us the game. That was on that play call by McDaniels. It was a ridiculous play to call. And you could see in his eyes while he's away vaping in the corner on the sidelines, you can see that he knew that he fucked that up. He did not help his quarterback at all in the slightest on that play call.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not even getting into the repeated delay of games and timeouts to avoid the delay of games near the end. It was almost degenerating into farce. And I'm quite sympathetic to visiting teams, because Bills have been road teams, and how easy it is to give away a false start when you've got a crowd roaring, and it doesn't matter how good you are, kind of thing. That's a hard place to go. Come on, Buffalo and Kansas must be two of the most difficult places to go,
especially with a really banged up on offensive line as well.
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah, and yeah, yes, they just kept fouling up, and you're there, sort of, you know, biting your nails as it's, you know, they only need three to get back into the game, and yet they just can't get out of their own way. And almost by the end, it's two offenses that can't even score at the end, because after that 10-point, I think the Bills punted another two times, didn't they?
That would have been
the perfect time. Run the ball a few times, kill the two minutes, get a first down, and then the game's as good as over.
And what play calls do they call up in that? They try and like long deep balls twice in a row.
Yeah.
There was, at one point, we tried the same pass to Gabe Davis.
Back to back
plays. Yeah. It was like, it was ridiculous. And I had people messaging me saying, why are you running the ball? Why are you just like trying to run it? Like burn some clock. And I'm like, it's just not what we do.
It's what we've got. What we've got to say is that Dorsey, I think I tweeted it out during the game on there. Dorsey just needs to calm down. I know he's getting excited. That it's his first year as an offensive coordinator. He's in the playoffs against your division rivals. But just calm down. Take a Xanax, whatever they have to chill over there. Just play these shorter games, because
especially considering Devin Singletary went for 5 yards a carry.
Mm.
Just give him the ball. Like let him just, you know, let him cook for a little bit. Do what he needs to do to run some time off the clock. Take the pressure off Josh so he doesn't feel like he needs to do it all.
To be honest, we got lucky with that spot right at the end.
Never a first down, was it?
Don't ever complain about spots. Don't ever complain about calls from the ref, because we have benefited from more than a few, haven't we, this year.
And I'm kind of glad, because obviously it really shows how stupid McDaniel had been by obviously having to waste those timeouts, because he couldn't get the play sorted. Like, I think one of them he got told it was a first down, so he had a first down play ready. Then they changed it late to a fourth down, and they weren't ready, and they had to burn a timeout. It was just comical. But it's also the same on the Bills and how they used their timeouts, because we could have won that game a little bit more easier, but McDermott.
Yeah,
screwed up on a couple of timeouts as well.
He ran down the sideline, didn't he? The fourth and one.
There was another one that he wanted to get in but didn't manage to, and actually it like ended up in our favour. I think we scored a touchdown or something from it, and all of a sudden they showed him afterwards charging down the sideline, not quite getting the time in. Okay, good. Yeah, please, that worked out fine. Yeah, don't worry about it then. Good.
I think the first one, it was when Edmonds had that massive hit for a loss. Actually, it was about third and long. He used timeout, and they actually got the play and got the touchdown from that play. And then a little bit later on, again, had an incomplete pass, no gain, short completion, fourth and six. And he called the timeout, and as soon as the ball played, it was pretty much overturned. It was an incomplete. So it's one of those where maybe the emotion of how the game went really got to both coaches, we put it that way.
Yeah, it wasn't the cleanest game by any stretch of the imagination from either side. I still like, I could write 10,000 words and I still wouldn't be able to explain how the Dolphins managed to score 31 points. But like I said, there was still an awful lot of good to take from it. I think this was the first game that you really saw the Trey White of old playing.
God, yeah.
Stat line didn't look incredible, but some of the plays he made, a couple of batted passes that I thought were brilliant. Kaiir Alam, for a guy who, you know, a first round pick who wasn't trusted to start the game, but when he came in, I thought was excellent. I thought he was one of the best player on our defense. He gave one
touchdown, didn't he? But apart from that, I think he was almost
a crucial interception.
Oh no, his stat line according to PFF was one catch allowed, one interception, a zero passer rating.
Yeah, so if they threw it to him, phenomenal. And why they insist on go to Dane Jackson before Kaiir Alam still blows my mind. But I thought that it has to be, like, we're obviously playing the Bengals next, spoiler alert. They've got three top quality wide receivers. We're going to need White and Alam playing like this again to give us any chance if we're being as haphazard and sloppy with the ball as we were in this game. We can't do it. If we play the same game again against the Bengals, we'll get blown away.
I mean, there's a maximum for the Bills to play three more games left in the season, and yet they've still never played a joined up four quarter game where they've been excellent all game.
No,
I just find that absolutely extraordinary. They're coming to the divisional round and they've still not played their best. Not really even played. Maybe for two thirds of the opening game against the Rams, who, you know, turned out to having a pretty bad year.
But even the first quarter, we kept them in it.
Yeah. No, it still wasn't. They turned it over twice, didn't they?
Yeah, in the first half. They played
well against the Chiefs, I suppose. But it's extraordinary, isn't it? We've only lost
three games by a collective 9 points.
Mm. 8 points, because it's two against the Dolphins. Eight flipping points. The 85 Bears lost one game all season by 14 to Miami.
There you go. So, new record.
There you go. That's the new record. We still have to win the bloody thing. But imagine turning up. Imagine still waiting to turn up at the divisional round. I mean,
yeah, now's our time.
Either we get blown out when we get found out, or they finally just hook it up.
Yeah, I think looking at it, I think we go on about Elam. And what was interesting is obviously McDermott came out and said that he spoke to the athletic trainer during the game. Jackson could have returned, but they sat him for the rest of the, well, Saturn, they subbed in when they need to, but they ran with Elam for the whole, pretty much the whole of the second half and the second half of the second quarter. And it now, hopefully, it should now see Elam being the starter next week. And I think, God forbid, we're going to need Elam rather than Dane Jackson. But it wasn't just that. I mean, he covered well. We had his run defending and pass breakups throughout through the games. He even helped in the run game and actually stopped Jeff Wilson on a run.
Mm. Yep.
And not just that, you look how Trey started to get back. I mean, the penalty on Trey was a bit iffy, but it was a penalty. But now you've got White getting back. You've got Elam coming, hopefully coming, and everyone's been full of praise for Elam because he's been out in training after training, practicing catching, practicing,
oh, yeah,
practicing, working. That work rate
has now got to see him start the next three games, one game, however many games we got left in the postseason.
They don't like throwing the rookies out there, do they? And I wonder if that's why they've been doing it with Dane Jackson. They just don't want to put Elam in. But I think
I get it.
Swallow your pride. Don't. No one's going to blame you, Kair, if you blow one. But at this point, he is the hot hand.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's ridiculous to be any other way now. It's what we're saving him for.
Mm.
This isn't week four. Where we're trying to bloody youngster, we're in the divisional round now. Play the guy; he's your first round pick.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is not just that. I mean, you could probably say for the whole of the defense, especially in the rush, that they really held up well. I mean, only got like 42 rush yards altogether. Something like that.
That's because we kept giving them the ball on the 20-yard line, which helps. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, 42 run yards.
But
Tyreek Hill got 69. Yeah. Sorry, Carol.
You see that combination. I mean, I think they went for what, 1-point-something odd yards per carry or something.
Yeah, 42 from 20.
2.1 yards per carry. It's the combination that I'm liking here. I mean, obviously, they had Oliver and Jones. That combination in the run game only allowed 1.4 yards per carry. Seto and Anku only allowed 2.1 yards per carry on there. And yeah, Mostert was actually missing for Miami, but Jeff Wilson is a serviceable one. He has a bit of thing to him, and Ahmed burnt us for a good amount in the second game. But it's showing that this defense is still there, even though we constantly gave them a load of easy field position to do it.
Oh, defense forced enough stops as well. I mean, we would have been in a lot more trouble if the defense hadn't have stepped up and bailed us out as often as they did.
Yeah.
We were defense, only in that game because of
defense was excellent. It was excellent. Yeah. And I know that you're playing against their third choice rookie quarterback, but you've still got weapons.
Yeah.
Tyreek
Hill, 7 for 69. Yeah, that was your best receiver.
I thought defensively actually was an excellent effort. To keep them those three drives where we kept on giving them the ball and we kept them out, so they got three straight field goals rather than touchdowns was huge ultimately in the result, considering how much we won by in the end. And the fact that we kept on giving them ridiculously short fields made it as difficult as we possibly could do. But when the Dolphins were expected to move the ball just or based on their own merit, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, and I think we've also got to now figure out you're going to have to try and find a way to pay Edmonds and also Poyer, who's now what, 13-0 this season.
Edmonds and Oliver.
Yeah, what a game Edmonds had. The hit on the running back. Whoa, that was special.
Yeah. And obviously Milano, all pro, come up with 2 sacks, 10 tackles in that game.
Missed that one though, didn't he?
Yeah.
The one open field tackle. We'll let him off one.
We'll give him a gimme. We'll give him the money on that one.
He's deserved it because he's so handsome.
But
yeah, good looking man.
You've got to now think that Bean has got a lot of work to do in this off season now.
You can do it. Signing bonuses, prorated appearance fees, training camp bonuses of 17 million or something. he'll figure something out.
As we saw last offseason, the cap is a myth. It doesn't make any difference. We'll find a way.
Yeah. Josh will cough up some of it for a signing bonus or something. Because Josh isn't going anywhere, is it? The reason why you don't do that is because if your player gets injured or something, or if he moves on, you're stuck with him. But I think for the settled players, they don't lose a cent. It's just converting where you put it. you can they'll figure something out.
I think if they if they do win it all, then I could actually see some of the guys who have got those big contracts actually doing something like that. But that would be potentially a show for the off season. One other thing, obviously, we've got to talk about, obviously, is this passing attack. Yes, we've talked about the play calling and the couple of overthrows and a couple of hero balls, which shouldn't be hero balls, but the creativity and the usage of these of the wide receivers this game was actually a lot better than
the BGG. Are you talking about the BGG?
Yeah,
big game Gabe.
Yep, big game Gabe.
Big game Gabe.
Got a stat for you. I want to see if you actually know the answer.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Diggs and Davis are the first Bills duo with 100 plus yards in the same playoff game. When was the last time that happened?
For the Bills?
For the Bills.
Early 90s.
Yeah. You're in the 90s. I'll give you the 90s.
Yeah, I was the only other time it could have been
Andre Reid,
Patriots last. Yeah, be Andre Reid and
Lofton. Andre Reid and Lofton.
Yes.
Yeah.
What year though? What year and what game?
Oh God.
Oh crap. It'll be my guess will be the 44-34
the Titans against, game
against Miami.
Oh, I see. That's I would have said the comeback game.
Oh, the Oilers.
The Oilers game.
It wasn't the comeback game.
No.
Yeah, that was my game. Oh, Raiders, 51-3.
Let's have a look. I've actually should have written this down. I've got the last bit.
I've
got
two guesses now, so I can't really claim
so
it.
So what was your
first guess was the Miami 44-34 in the one of the first or the second one. I think it was the Super Bowl 25.
That was the,
1990 AFC Divisional Championship, Buffalo 44, Miami 33.
Yeah.
James Lofton and Andre Reed.
Yeah, I remember that because that was like a basketball game, wasn't it? They just kept going down, score, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let me just see what the actual, I didn't actually see what they finished with. Let's have a look. Can I get the box score in there? Reed recorded 123 receiving yards and a pair of touchdowns. Lofton caught 149 yards and a touchdown. And Thurman Thomas led the way with 117 rushing yards.
He was pretty good.
I love Thurman
Thomas. He was decent, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'd give to have a prime Thurman Thomas in this team.
And it's just omens. I mean, there's so many different omens going around right now about this game. But going back to the wide receiver bit, I mean, during the regular season, they just mainly went with Davis and Diggs, mainly towards Diggs. But this time, they actually used 15 different wide receiver combinations.
That is interesting. Okay.
Ranging from the 1-2 personnel to the 1-0 personnel.
It felt to me like the Dolphins after halftime, they went out of their way to stop Stephon Diggs being throwing the ball anymore.
Yes.
That was one of the key adjustments that they made. So we had to go into the locker. Cole Beasley had obviously the interception that he fucked up, but credit to him that he stuck with it, got his touchdown. If this felt like a bit of a welcome to the party, pal, game for Khalil Shakir, obviously can't drop that 54-yard pass, but young kid, give him his dues, give him a chance. But I thought he played well, and we've obviously criticised Gabe Davis this season a little bit, but come to the playoffs, that kid,
he knows what he's doing.
Shakir's
basically picked up McKenzie's reps, hasn't he? And I'm struggling to see McKenzie getting back into the team now.
Yeah, he does.
I think Shakir's got that's Shakir's job now. I think,
and even Dawson Knox has become the first Bill ever to get the first playoff touchdown in three straight seasons.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice. He looked good, but again, key mistake to stop us going 21-0 up. That it felt like there were so many key silly mistakes on offense. We can't possibly do that again.
Do you think? I just wanted to throw something out there. Do you think? I mean, it was 0 degrees out there Celsius or 25 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Miami dropped a whole bunch. Tyreek Hill dropped. Hill and Waddle dropped a couple, which was like, how the hell did he drop that? That's it. He's caught. Oh no way. And I don't know, because it seemed like both teams were making drops, and it seems like too much of a coincidence for it to be nerves or pressure or something. I just wonder if the cold got to them. Don't know.
Possibly.
It seemed interesting. They both dropped. There was a lot of drops.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the wide receiver thing, I say they used different things. What maybe this is to do with the play calling, and maybe why in the second half we're a bit more predictable on there. In the second half, in the first half, Diggs played 76.2% of first half snaps. In the second half, he played nearly 94% of second half snaps, and Davis barely left the field either.
But he also barely got thrown the ball, Stephon Diggs, in the second half. But, so he was almost there to take away a defender and a cornerback and a safety to let everybody else play, because he was double covered almost every play in the second half.
But if they can go back to having those different personnel on there to keep offense guessing, I mean, that is probably the key. How the Bills going forward can actually do it. I think if you've got Shakir underneath, you've got Beasley underneath, you can use Brown outside inside. You can use them all over the place. Keep them guessing, and that's where the Bills should have continued. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's a win after all.
I don't know about everybody else, but it was a fucking horrible experience to watch the game. It was far more stressful than it should have been.
Yes.
Considering we were the architects of our own downfall. I think what you said earlier on is that this was a 34-13 game, or probably more like a 48-13 game. That's what this felt like, that we somehow contrived to only win by 3 points. I guess one of the positives to take from it is that we found a way to win the game when there were other games that we've contrived to give the ball away, like we did in the Jets game and like we did in the Vikings game, that we've actually managed to lose them. At least this one, we hung on and got the W, when in other games earlier on in the season, we may not have done.
And it's still within our, what's the word, within our grasp to go all the way. Because if we don't do that, and it's big if, and if we do, offense does play as well as it can and consistently, and if the defense does play as well as they've continued to play, I still think we can beat anyone.
Yeah.
There's no one. And one other stat, I read this this afternoon. The Bills have been favoured in the Vegas spread betting in every single game, including the one we've just had, and including the opening of next week's game, which I know we'll record another episode for. So Vegas recognises, don't balls it up. You should win this in every game we play.
Did I hear it right during the commentary that this was the first time in NFL history that a team favored by double digits in a playoff game hasn't won by double digits?
So it was something crazy like that.
Yeah. Every single other time Vegas has had it as a team was going to be double digit favorites in a playoff game, they have won by more than 10 points. This was the first time ever it's not happened. So thank God.
Yes, imagine the kind of balls up you'd have to have.
Seriously cocking up.
Scrape it by three, thanks to a 4th-and-1.
I think what I'll leave it on, and obviously we'll skin it back to Josh Allen. The last stat to actually give, and he's actually broken a record, pretty much. He's become the first quarterback to ever have multiple touchdown passes against one opponent in 11 straight games.
That just doesn't seem quite believable, does it? Because you got to think, you got to think, all the great quarterbacks over the years used to just beat up on crap teams.
Yeah. You got like Brady used to do against us.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't want to mention him, but yeah, he must have had a couple.
And that's obviously against Miami
and stuff, and Rodgers.
Yeah, that's against Miami. And who do you think? Which quarterback? Do you think he took the record off?
Dan Marino?
Yeah.
Really? Was it?
Yeah, 10 straight with Dan. Dan Marino had 10 straight. I don't know. I can't remember who against. But
Josh Allen's become...
Probably. Yeah. Although, actually, well, maybe.
His era, probably not.
When he started off, he was...
Yeah, probably not.
And also, another little quick question. When was the last time Josh Allen didn't throw for at least 2 touchdowns versus Miami?
Oh, against Miami?
Yeah.
Is it the Charles Clay one in 2018? It wasn't that. He threw for 2 in that game. Okay.
No idea.
No, I don't know then. That's the only one that jumps to mind. That's the only one that comes to mind.
He's never thrown at least 2 touchdowns. He's thrown 2 touchdowns at least.
In every game he's played against the Dolphins.
Against Miami.
My God, that is a stat.
Fair play.
And that's a...
Even shit Josh was too good for the Dolphins.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, find it somewhere.
And what's it, Jeremy Clark, you say? And on that bombshell, it's time to end the show. But no, I think... I'm glad that we've actually managed to get through this. They've got a lot of work to do. We've got a big game against the Bengals, which we'll review later on in the week. Obviously, all three of us, you know by now, on the socials, so give us a follow. Give the UK Bills a follow. We even got a shout out on WRGZ in Buffalo.
Yeah.
It was only about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, but
doesn't matter. Still counts.
Anything is anything. Obviously, it's an 8 p.m. kickoff game, so the Bell will be showing it. So if you're in and around London, definitely get down there because the atmosphere was electric last night. And all I can really say is for Robin, Mark, myself, is good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Keep supporting and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Your bells.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh?
That's who we are.
Does on 3. 1, 2, 3.